From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and the founder of the Let the Bible Speak ministry. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. The psalmist felt his need of divine guidance. He had just been discovering the foolishness of his own heart, and lest he should be constantly led astray by it, he resolved that God's counsel should henceforth guide him. A sense of our own folly is a great step towards being wise when it leads us to rely on the wisdom of the Lord. The blind man leans on his friend's arm and reaches home in safety, and so would we give ourselves up implicitly to divine guidance, nothing doubting, assured that though we cannot see, it is always safe to trust the all-seeing God. Thou shalt is a blessed expression of confidence. He was sure that the Lord would not decline the condescending task. There is a word for thee, O believer. Rest in it. Be assured that thy God will be thy counselor and friend. He shall guide thee. He will direct all thy ways. In His written word thou hast this assurance in part fulfilled, for Holy Scripture is His counsel to thee. Happy are we to have God's word always to guide us. What were the mariner without his compass? And what were the Christian without the Bible? This is the unerring chart, the map in which every shoal is described, and all the channels from the quicksands of destruction to the haven of salvation, mapped and marked by one who knows all the way. Blessed be Thou, O God, that we may trust Thee to guide us now, and to guide us even to the end. After this guidance through this life, the psalmist anticipates a divine reception at last, and afterward, receive me to glory. What a thought for thee, believer! God Himself will receive thee to glory. Thee, wandering, erring, straying, yet He will bring thee safe at last to glory. This is thy portion. Live on it this day. And if perplexity should surround thee, go in the strength of this text straight to the throne.
In times of deep despair I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help and aid, unto the God who cares for His own, unto God whose glories never fade. I look away and cast my longing eyes unto thy hills of His unchanging love, where I am drawn to the joy that ever thrills, and to precious thought.
some sweet day upon his holy hill, I'll lift my eyes to view his precious face with adoration, bow before his throne, and thank and praise him, and thank and praise.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of this message entitled, The Law in the Life of the Believer. In dealing with this subject, Dr. Cairns has demonstrated the impossibility of salvation by attempting to keep the law. No man can do that to perfection, but Christ kept the law perfectly on behalf of his people and paid its penalty on the cross. When a person is saved, God imputes to him the righteousness of Christ, so that his obedience to the moral law and his service for God is accepted for Christ's sake. Ultimately, the blood of Christ not only cleanses from sin, but it covers the believer's works, resulting in God's approval. Now to conclude this message, The Law in the Life of the Believer, here is Dr. Cairns.
2 Corinthians chapter 3 will show you the process of sanctification, and I would ask you to underline it, memorize it, pray over it, think about it, never forget it. If you're a Christian, here is the secret of sanctification. We all with open, that is with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass, and the glass here is the law of God, it is the word of God, the glory of the Lord. Beholding in Scripture the glory of the Lord. What happens? We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. How is a Christian changed? He's changed from the inside out. He's changed as he beholds the glory of Christ. The trouble with so many Christians is they spend so little time beholding Christ that they are not as like Him as they ought to be. It is by beholding Christ, studying the glory of Christ, meditating upon the person and work of Christ, understanding what you are and have in Christ, that will change your life more than anything. In fact, it is the only thing that will really change your life. And that's why in Romans 7, dealing with the place and function of the law in the life of the believer, Paul speaks of us serving in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. What does that mean? You know, those words are so familiar, and I dare say not one preacher in 10 understands what it means, never mind the people in the pew. To serve Him in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Remember the context. He says, believers serve God as those who are now married to Christ, not merely by some outward conformity to rule. There are some people who are very good at keeping a set of rules, at least to the extent of impressing you and me. I'm thinking of one at the moment who could set up a set of rules, and he could, as far as you could see his life and as far as I could see his life, he could keep to the rules, and he knew how to do that, and he could do it in such a way as to put you under great guilt for not living up to his rules. Was he sanctified? I doubt if he is ever saved. It's not an outward conformity merely. It is living as one who is married to Christ. Now that makes it very understandable. Many of you, I was going to say most of you, but I haven't done a head count, so many of you are married. And the rest of you are still praying about it. Either how to get in or how to escape. Now take your marriage relationship as a husband or a wife. Isn't it a simple thing? Doesn't it simplify life greatly? What is right for you as a husband or as a wife? I'm married. What does that marriage state dictate that I do? If you're married, let me tell you, the marriage state will make sure that you're not going out for dinner with somebody else's wife. You see, that relationship dictates clearly what you should do. And that's what Paul's saying, serve Him in the newness of the Spirit. You're married to Christ. He's your great motivator and your great enabler. He has written His law, Hebrews 8 and 10, on your heart. It's His love that constrains you. Listen, the power to obey God's law does not come from the law. It comes from Christ. And then finally, let me make this statement as we close. Some of you will have been more than a little worried by some of what I've said tonight. Christians have a duty to keep the law, and every one of us has to say, but Lord, I do such a poor job of keeping the law. At the very best, my law keeping and my obedience are very imperfect. But hearken to me very clearly, though our obedience is imperfect, the Lord accepts it and He rewards it for the sake of Christ and His merits. Let me read to you from Romans 14 as we close tonight, verses 17 and 18. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that doeth these things is acceptable to God and approved of men. How is he approved? By God and accepted? Philippians 4:18 tells us that our service is a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And how? Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2 and 5, it is acceptable by Jesus Christ. I can't be saved by law-keeping. And even after I'm saved, my obedience to God is so imperfect that it doesn't provide any standard of acceptance. It is the mark of a heart that knows Christ, that I want to obey God. But I have to lament with Paul in Romans 7, so often I want to do good and evil's present with me. So often I want to escape evil and I can't. I'm so hedged about with infirmity and failure and weakness and imperfection. But listen, Jesus Christ is my perfect righteousness. Jesus Christ is my perfect sanctification. Jesus Christ is my perfect merit. And not only my sins are under the blood, but my righteousness is as well. My life is under the blood. My service is under the blood. And God receives even my imperfect obedience. It's not an excuse for my sin, but it's the grace of God to people who cannot be perfect in the flesh. He receives even my imperfect obedience, covers it with the blood of Christ. He brings with it to his throne all the sweet incense of the Savior's merit. And he rewards me for Jesus' sake. Isn't that how we pray? Hear us for Jesus' sake. That's how it works. God's grace applying Christ's merit. Here then is the believer's relation to the law. You're not justified by it. You're not sanctified by it. But if you're a Christian, you delight in the law of God. You cannot despise it, throw it away, and simply say, "Ah, that's Old Testament." It's not. It's not. Every one of the Ten Commandments actually is repeated in the New Testament. Every single one of them. I, including, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It's not 9 commandments now, it's still the 10. You cannot, as a Christian, despise God's holy law. May God tonight write His word on our heart. If you are not saved, I hope that the law will drive you to Christ. And if you are saved, I trust that it will be your delight, day by day, even as we were singing, in the light of Calvary, where the whole realm of glory mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing and so divine shall have my soul, my life, my all. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father in heaven, bless thy word to every heart. O God, we thank thee for our Savior, the great keeper and satisfier of the law of God, the righteous Christ, who has made righteousness unto us, giving us a right standing with God through faith in Him. Lord, bring sinners to Christ tonight. O God, let not one man, woman, or boy or girl leave this meeting without Christ, condemned and unclean. God, save the lost for Jesus' sake. And bless thy people. We want to obey thee. We want to serve thee. We want to live by the standard of God's law, not by the standard of the world's lust. Oh God, we pray, give us grace, so fix our eyes on Christ that it will be our delight to fulfill thy will and obey thy command. Part us now with thy blessing, keep us in thy fear, be the abiding portion of thy blood-bought church tonight and evermore. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.